fingers crossed stuff comes through.
Because Twitch really crapped the bed earlier.
Well, Restream was looking a bit odd when I went into it earlier. It said that YouTube channel not found, which was a little bit disconcerting. Oh, it seems to be coming through to... it's coming through to that. Okay, it appears to be working.
Because when you messaged me, I wasn't even sure if I was live on Twitch, because when you check on your phone,
yeah,
it was like, this stream has ended. And I didn't even have the live icon on my page. Like, I had nothing. So I didn't even know that I was live. I didn't have any counter, any timer. Chat didn't work. I couldn't update the stream titles or anything. Like, it was just broken. So I said, fuck it, I'm going to hit live and go and hope.
What you should do is you should get one of your Raspberry Pis with a little tiny little LCD monitor. You should set that up as like a little chat window for you.
No, you say that. I've got one right here. I've got one right here on my desk. I've got a 15-inch C-Force USB-powered display. And it's got a full-size HDMI port on it and a built-in Nintendo Switch dock. So and that literally sits on my desk, connected up to a Raspberry Pi 4 8-gig model. And then I've got a mechanical keyboard and mouse. So I have two keyboards on my desk. Two monitors on my desk. Two mice, two keyboards, Raspberry Pi, and then cameras, lights, everything is fun.
Yeah, cool.
I've got no room to move at all on my desk.
As it should be. If you're not being winched into your desk by some sort of complicated crane mechanism, what kind of gamer are you?
Yeah, if you don't break your legs as you try and step away from it.
Yeah. If I see a gamer who can turn around their desk, it's just wasted space.
So right now, I've got... Oh, shit, my guitars fell over. I was going to say, I've got a couple of guitars just literally leaning up next to me. They're not even in stands or anything. They're just leaning against my desk. It's like, oh, yeah, you know.
So the question is, guys, are you going to get yourself the KFC console?
I looked at it and I was like, I want it.
Yeah.
I want it, but I don't know.
Hey, I mean, Xbox has been using the heaters for years, so, I mean, it's about time KFC can hold up with it.
That's probably all, isn't it? It's a repurposed fucking... They just took the fans off or something. Just gone, there you go, just stick your chicken on your graphics card. Go on.
Yeah, well, I've always thought to myself, what I really want to be on top of my game machine is something that's really greasy and oily that can seep right into the circuit boards. That's perfect. That's just what I want. Having said that, you can actually submerge your computers in mineral oil.
I was going to say, like, you can put them in oil, like oil.
Yeah,
cooling.
You could.
Just take all your fans and that off, and it's great.
Perhaps this is what KFC is aiming for. Perhaps they switch all their factories to oil cooling. So they're all switching to mineral oil, so that as you put it on your machine, you're actually cooling it for you.
Could you imagine, like, their fryers aren't actually fryers anymore? It's just their main PC that runs, the front of house kind of thing.
Heard. That's what the Red Ring of Death Xbox consoles went to.
Just dumped them all in the fryers at KFC.
They just line all the power supplies up around the edge of the fryer. And that's why if you ever go there, look, there's always like a red hue to the kitchen. It's because of the Red Rings of Death flashing. But the power supplies still work. And there you go.
It's all good. It's all good.
10 Xboxes can fry a whole chicken in less than 30 seconds.
So just dump it in.
Fact,
bam. Nailed it.
I mean, just believe me. It works for Trump. Just believe what I tell you.
We've said it. It's on the internet. It's true. Yeah.
Have you watched that Death to 2020 on Netflix?
No, I have not. I was tempted to because me and Iggy basically binged loads of stuff. Lack of sleep. Weird that. 2021, no sleep.
Yay.
None. I'm making the most of this year.
But I recommend binging that. I went and watched that. We watched it on New Year's Eve. That was really funny.
There you go. Documentary or just a comedy?
Sort of mockumentary type thing.
Oh, okay,
it's going to be a documentary on 2020, but it's like all got actors and stuff playing. So you got Samuel L. Jackson's in there playing a reporter, and there's all sorts of actors. And Hugh Grant's in there playing a historian. and they're all just like being interviewed for a mockumentary. It's Lisa Kudrow's in there playing a Republican spokesperson. It's just so funny.
Fantastic.
It's so funny. They've got like their own version. They've got like the sort of person who tends to be like sort of some sort of tech guru, like Facebook type person. It's, yeah, really good. So yeah, definitely worth, I'll give that a watch. I found it funny anyway. So
I'll have to check it out. Everyone check that out.
So, everybody, I'm the stuff of Graham.
Scared,
I suppose we hadn't done that bit. So welcome to episode 156 of the Randos Podcast, and a happy new year.
We survived 2020.
Yeah. Woo! When we both feel that we've all unlocked the achievement. You made it through 2020. Yeah. And
like if you look in the history books, 2020 ain't gonna be there.
Yeah. So yeah. So I'm hoping, and I'm putting my little this isn't a staff, it's a pen. If I was going to stamp the staff into the ground, the pen, ow!
He just impales himself.
Down the lid part, facing away, and it went straight into the side of my hand. That actually hurt quite a lot. That's annoying.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, anyway. Don't. I'm going to take the lid bit off now. If I'm going to stamp this down the ground, I'm going to say, right, we're going to book our Randos Trophy for our podcast. I think I'm off in July. I believe it's either June or July 1 or the other. I think both, actually. I think I'm doing half and half. By that point, Corona will be gone. Or at least it'll be safe to actually go around other people's houses.
You hope.
Will help. I will have the vaccine by then.
Wow. I'm
just going to go down the over Zimmer frame and pretend.
I mean, he's an old boy.
I'm over 70. I'm in a vulnerable group.
And they're like,
are you really over 70? No, but I'm a PC gamer, so I live an unhealthy lifestyle. Welcome in.
And they're like, yeah, get
that's
in.
On the list. So it was like over 90s, over 80s, over 70s, and PC gamers. They're on the list. They know what they're like.
Oh,
and this,
shit,
and this year's been even worse for PC gamers because we were doing what they would do, it tends to do anyway, but we've made it worse because we've actually gone full, you know, full takeaway. It's gone terrible. You see,
they've enabled
every
us.
Time I clip my I can't clip my fingers. If I was clipping my every time I clip, it's a PC gamer die of a coronary.
Oh no! For only £2 a month,
you can sponsor a PC gamer get took outside occasionally.
No, don't be like
this.
The graphics out here suck.
Yes. Hi, I'm Gabe New, and I sponsor Valve Nurses.
Oh my god, ray tracing. So,
this is Reg.
Like,
Reg used to play World, Reg used to play Dota for 22 hours a day and to sleep for number two. We rescued Reg from his house and now take him outside for half an hour a day, so only plays for 21 and a half hours now. But,
he's suffering from pretty bad withdrawal at this point.
There'd be just a picture of someone on a keyboard and it'll just say, shall we make it stop? And it'll just freeze. It'll all go to grayscale. It'll zoom in slowly on their face. And there'll be another one sat there eating a box of chicken. Shall we make
he's
it stop?
He's not used to seeing things. Yeah. He's not used to seeing things outside of the isometric view.
This is a video we need to make if we can meet up.
It is. Well... we'll probably both die, so it'll be the last thing we do. But
at least we'll go down internet famous.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
What they do, they're making a mockery stew about getting COVID as gamers. What happened to them? They're gamers and they got COVID.
Oh no!
The worst possible thing. I bet it's recording all right. Yeah, it's recording fine. Oh, it's good. So how did you go? Do you have a good Christmas? A new year.
I survived. That's all I can ask for.
Was Santa generous this year?
For my kids, yeah.
Well, there you go.
And I'm still married, so...
Nearly a year now, Scars.
Yeah, managed to get through an entire year of lockdown and my wife hasn't smashed my face in yet. That poor girl.
Yeah.
How about you,
Ram? I'm fine. I spent most of Christmas Day drunk and most of New Year's Eve drunk, as it should be.
Awesome. I was going to say New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve was the last day I was allowed to drink.
Cool.
So we decided we're cutting that out and my sugar is down again. So I'm doing one of those health kicks with people again. Ugh. which, like I said, isn't helping. You'd think, you know, lack of sugar would stop me from being awake all the time, but it hasn't helped any. Yeah. But yeah, New Year's Eve, I drank 2/3 of a keg of Adnams Grove Ship.
Okay.
Among other things, and it was all right.
I drank several bottles of Aspals, 2 glasses of port, and some whiskey.
Good man.
I am, yeah. Because I was at work at 6 a.m. on New Year's Eve, so I went into work, was 6 till 4, got home, because we were going to do our Christmas Dungeons & Dragons game. I was like, I am way too tired to even be able to think. Dungeons & Dragons is a bit of a fit. I'm the DM. I have to think about things when I play. You've just got to roll dice. I've actually got to think about things. So that ain't happening tonight. Also, I haven't actually written it yet, which is a bit of a problem. So...
Oh, yeah.
But I have written it now. I've written it, it's printed, it's sat to one side, and we're doing it tomorrow night.
Good job.
Basically D&D crossover The Hangover.
Right.
Yeah. So, we're all going to get blind drunk and wake up and not know what's going on.
Fantastic. Yeah, sounds like a normal D&D session.
They're
going
to find a darwolf for the bathroom. Awful fun stuff.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. That's good. Yes, you know, chocolate and alcohol, that's all I got for Christmas. That's ideal.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember what I got for Christmas.
Oh.
So it's fine.
For me, you definitely got chocolates because it's like, I have no idea what to buy. These people are just going to buy chocolate now.
Oh, yeah, they went.
Yeah.
They went
quick.
I'm
not surprised. It's like, I tell them it's enough, so I'll just buy some other stuff and add a set of people all together in one big lump, and then I'm sure they'll figure out what to do with it.
We got chocolate, a box of meat.
To be fair, the box wasn't technically a present because you had to pay for that.
Oh, I don't care, mate. That made Christmas great. Because hard fact, I'm a fat guy in a skinny guy's body.
Yes, yeah, I'll agree with that.
Okay,
yeah.
I love food. Like, I probably eat more than you on a lot of occasions.
Yeah, actually, you do.
When we go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, they look at me as if to say, get the fuck out.
Yeah. It is true. I mean, it's. I'm disgusted by the fact that you can eat as much as me, yet you're as thin as a rake. It's fucking disgusting.
Can you remember the first time we went to that all-you-can-eat buffet in town?
Did
China Diner.
Was I with you? I don't remember that.
Oh, I feel really sad now. It was me, you and Weasel, if I remember correctly.
I was going back a bit. Was this when you were doing for our foundation year or something?
Around that time. Yeah.
Was it like some sort of...
Because it didn't last very long, did it?
Well, they got raided, didn't they?
And they probably would have done, given the fact that we went there.
They got raided, didn't they? So...
It was a fun time. How many plates...
Having said that, Skaz, you say that, we went down there eating up, but I remember going down there with family, and you could see every... If you went down on a Friday, there, or most of the week, actually, I was sat there, and my family was there, and we were all sat there... having off all you can eat, and then just at the doorway you saw this very large family come in. I swear the ground was vibrating as I was walking down in.
You could see it in the drinks.
I mean, you see, I think, I'm not sure he's going to get down. The stairs had rails on. I'm not sure he's going to get through the stair of the rails, and they sort of said hi. It's all very friendly. I thought, I bet they come here every single week. I bet they have to order an extra for this day. They have to order in, like, oh, that family's coming, better double the order this week. Like, because that was just insane.
They're only allowed in. It's not usually booked. You can just walk in, but for them, they're told they have to book.
Yeah. I mean, the guy, no word of lie, got a plate. And you know those deep fried chicken balls? He filled the plate with a, like, almost like when you used to do profiteroles rolls into a big, like, sort of nice dome, like ferro roche. He did that. Chicken balls. He must have cleared.
Motherfucker.
I was sat there and then he went back and got a second plate. It's like, fucking hell.
First off, how'd they have that many chicken balls? Secondly, challenge accepted, motherfucker.
I was where I got my taste of chicken balls as China Diner.
That was a good place. Good place.
Yeah, it's a shame. That was a good place.
Because they put it in, it was in Frank Colby Sports, wasn't it? It used to be a sports store.
I had no idea. I just knew it was a...
Before it became a Chinese
There's
place.
Your fault there, Skaz. It used to be a sports store. At no point in life would I have ever gone there.
Oh,
that
there
sounds
go.
Way too active.
Only place in town you could get ice hockey gear.
Well, we don't get really much in the way of ice around here.
No, but our nearest rink was Norwich, and oddly enough, Norwich didn't have much by way of ice hockey gear either.
Do you think ice hockey just isn't very popular around here?
No, I have noticed. It's sad, really.
But, it's close to lockdown skating. It's because we're not Canadian.
Ain't we?
No.
Well, maybe that's where I've been gone wrong then.
No, hey, it is. We're not Canadian. We're just, you know, Canadians came from us. They evolved from us.
They did evolve from us.
You know,
I will say, we didn't take ice hockey, but for some reason we kept rugby.
Rugby, I mean, let's face it, though, rugby, we invented rugby. The Americans, who again evolved from us, invented American football, which is basically rugby, but with armour.
Yeah, sissies.
So, you know.
I think rugby's a pretty sissy sport to start with, but,
Yeah.
No, America. You fuck everything up.
Yeah. It's,
Rams, stop it.
No.
Diplomacy, man.
No. So.
Wow.
There we are. Well, we managed to get the first 15 minutes out of the way. That's not bad, Gary.
Nailed it. But that restaurant was great. Food is good. And hard fact, I can eat more than Ram.
That is, yeah, I won't deny that. That is true. He can shovel it in a lot. I don't know where he puts it. It's fucking disgusting and irritating.
Mad skills, mate. Mad skills.
I assume that he hasn't got actually to just. I think it's just a long pipe, and it just goes in, and comes immediately out the other end, and it doesn't see any stomach, and then get turned to fat like it does in me. Well, I basically, if I basically get. This is an empty bottom McDonald's bottle. If I just sniff that, I've put on 2 kilos. That's how bad I get from. I've just got.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I've got slow metabolism.
Question: yeah. How's your weigh-in going?
Well, to be honest with you, Skaz, as it's been Christmas and I've been using a lot of my Frosties to freeze my days on my app because, let's face it, it's Christmas. I haven't dared weigh myself because I expected to have gone up. So I'm going. Because I've had like quite a few days off for Christmas. Because it's Christmas, you're gonna have a day off. Mm-hmm. And Christmas was the Boxing Day, and then you have New Year's Eve, and all that sort of stuff. So I'm sort of re-signed properly as of today, and I'll give it a couple of weeks, and I'll weigh again. And we'll see.
Good call.
I'm not gonna depress myself by weighing.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah, I think it's a sensible way around it. So, Skaz, what have you been up to?
As far as games, not a lot, to be honest with you. I've been dicking around with Google Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
I've been dicking around with GeForce Now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's NVIDIA's streaming thing. And most of the world has been playing and complaining about Cyberpunk.
Yes, if you're a console gamer, at least, generally.
Yeah, I suppose.
So it's interesting because back for episode 154, this is so. Because we're a bit late to the party because Cyberpunk came out, our Christmas episode came out afterwards, but there was technical reasons for that and why we did discuss it. Before episode 154, I said, Cyberpunk's due out in a few days. It's going to get one hell of a backlash because it's been made out to be the messiah of games. And it ain't gonna be. It just won't.
No.
No matter what it does, it could be like one of the best made games of all time, and it won't be good enough. And strangely, obviously it got some well deserved criticism, but it got its criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How you've played it more than that?
According to Steam, I'm on 31 hours.
Yeah, I'm nowhere near that.
So
I've got 7 clocked in. And a lot of that is actually just dicking around in GeForce Now. That's not even playing the story. That's just like, does it work? What's the lag like? Load it up on my PC. What's the lag like? Yeah. And go on from there.
So it came out. Before it came out, I mean, just to give you an idea of how the hype got insane. PC reviews came out just before the game got released. And reviewers giving it, you know, most of them give it sort of like 7 out of 10 or 70%, or around about that sort of figure. And people went ballistic. There were just people were sending death threats these reviewers. They'll complain every little thing they've done. Oh, this is a reviewer who liked Animal Crossing, therefore they don't know what they're talking about. All scenes like this. One reviewer made a point about the fact that the game could easily trigger epileptics. Because yeah. I don't know if you've got it, there's a sequence in the game where you basically sit down in this seat and they put this device on you and it flashes lights at you. And now this device, if you actually look at, if you look for like, there's devices they use in medical research to like give people fits, like people know to trigger fits. It looks remarkably similar to the one they designed. So you have a feeling that some graphic designer was Googling, thought, what can I do? Oh, that looks quite cool. Oh, look at the effect that does. That's cool. I'll copy that. And not actually think, this is the seizure-making device. Should we really put this in a game?
Right, just two things right off the bat.
Fix that,
I'm pretty sure the game does have a seizure warning.
Yeah, for half a second.
Hey, if you don't see it, you don't see it. It's there. I saw it. So it weren't that quick. And I've played on three different systems so far. It's there. So if anyone has a hissy fit about it, it's there. Because someone actually said to me on stream, mate, fucking almost had a seizure playing this game. I was like, there is a seizure warning at the start.
The only thing I would...
And next, it's cyberpunk. Mm-hmm. Neon, flashy lights, all kinds of fucking shit. What did you think was going
to
be in it?
The only thing I would say to that is that epilepsy warning is in front of every game out there anywhere. They always put it up because it's comes up. Secondly, that's fine. You know, put up, but don't deliberately put something in your game that's based on something that's designed to cause seizures.
I agree.
That's being stupid. That's like, you know, they put that warning up there because there are certain things that happen, glitches and so forth, which could cause it, which you don't plan to. But don't deliberately put something in there which you know will set up a trigger off.
And Windows can cause that too.
But the other thing to bear in mind is those type of seizures people can have, people might not even realize they've gone. They could be triggered off. So someone could discover the hard way they've got epilepsy.
Yeah, that's happened to a couple of my mates.
So don't, fine, put the warning there, because it's a risk you could have them, but don't deliberately troll people, put that sort of stuff in there. That's just plain stupidity.
Sure, but
They've changed.
Agreed. But the idea that people were so aggro about it, it's like, but there's a warning about
it. I think it's because of that reason, though, the fact that you've got, okay, I think it's basically, I won't remember the point again, but basically I think that's the reason people got arsy about it, was the fact that they've deliberately put something in there which is basically...
Yeah, it was almost designed
to cause it. If you're a designer, that's just stupid. That's clearly somebody seen something, that's quite cool, and didn't actually bother to look up what it did. Because it is, if you look at these devices, they look very similar. So it's clear what it's based on, and no one thought, this device causes seizures in people. Perhaps we shouldn't put it in a game. Perhaps we should make it look like it, but perhaps we shouldn't have the flashy lights in there. Perhaps that's not a good idea. So, you don't have to troll people like that. And that was a poor design choice. Simple as that. There's no real excuse there. And they've changed it now. So now, instead of a flashy light, it all glows at you. So they fixed that, and they've solved the problem. So that got a lot of hate. So reviews get a bomb. Then the game gets released. And all I'm saying is I'm very sorry for console gamers. Or should I say previous gen console gamers. Because you are basically screwed. It just will not run. I don't think even they optimise it more and get squish all the bugs. I can't seem getting that to a runnable state on consoles. Current gen, or next gen, apparently anyone's looked at it, but the newest release ones, apparently one's very, absolutely, generally pretty okay.
It should be mentioned, though, that the current gen consoles, Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5, aren't even running specialised versions of the game yet.
They're patching it.
They're running the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of the games.
Which is then patched up to make up thing.
Well, they will be. I don't know if they have.
PC games. I mean, I've got an old my machine's now 4-5 years old. I think I built it in 2015, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a 1050 Ti graphics card in it. Not particularly. I mean, when it was new, wasn't high end, but it was definitely sort of high mid range when it was built. But that runs it fine. I'm playing ultra wide, 2560 by 1080. Plays absolutely fine. in terms of those.
Has your because the settings tend to change because it actually sets your defaults will change based on your graphics card. Has it put you on like high 30
Ultra,
or
I'm playing on.
No. Ultra, okay.
Interesting. There definitely were, when I first loaded it up, there was definitely loads of graphical bugs in it. I had these trees just appearing every. Basically, if there was a tree that was in that level, was being like, you know, had been created into the level, you know, been instanced into the level, I could see it through every wall, everywhere. It's just always there permanently. And they fixed that now. Actually, what fixed it was a driver update. I downloaded the newest drivers. I fixed a lot of the graphical glitches. I had this other weird glitch, which happened a lot when I first played it. They seem to have fixed it for most of it, but it still occasionally happens where... So, I'm an ultra-wide. If I crouch down, it basically put black bars on either side of my screen, so I'm back to normal widescreen. But wouldn't move the user interface to match. So user interface would be covered up by these black bars. I'd see like the corner of it. But then when I uncrouched, it would come back. Yeah, right. So there's obviously some little trigger there somewhere. That seems to have been fixed. It does still occasionally happen. It gets a bit of confused and I go from ultra wide to widescreen. But most of the time, it seems pretty fixed. They seem to have pretty much fixed it in that regards. But I've played, so from what I was playing, I didn't really have any major bugs. There was definitely glitches in it. And even now I've still not had nothing game breaking. I personally have not experienced anything game breaking. I've had plenty of glitches, but nothing horrendously game breaking. Okay. So obviously you've played the Stadia version, haven't you? And
I've played Stadia and PC because I've got it on both. Because the Stadia version had a nice little deal where if you bought Cyberpunk on Stadia, you got a Chromecast Ultra and control pad for free.
How much do they normally cost separately?
Depending on the groove, I think the control pads are normally 50. Chromecast Ultras used to be 80, but you could buy them in a bundle for like 90 to 100 quid or something like that.
So that's actually a bloody good deal.
Yeah, I mean, I bought it on Stadia just for the Chromecast Ultra and the extra control pad.
As well.
So I was like, I didn't even really want to play Cyberpunk, but I wanted an extra Chromecast, and I was like, fucking bargain,
mate. Cheapest way to get it.
For sure. So so I got it on that, and because I'll be honest with you, I've got a pretty solid PC.
Do you have now, yes.
It's all modern parts. The only thing that's not top of the line in my PC is the graphics card. But I can still play the game on Ultra. I wouldn't say it's a smooth 60. It says that my average frame rate is 50 in my graphics card's analytics. I'm playing it on you know, Ultra, 1080p, all the bells and whistles for AMD. It's all right. It's playable. As you say, game is full of glitches.
Yep.
I do not like the way it plays on keyboard and mouse.
Okay.
It feels kind of wobbly to me unless if I rebind all my keys, fine. I just feel like I don't know. Sometimes it feels a little awkward. Sometimes actions that I'll be like, I'm sure that should be the E key in most games. No, it's F for some reason. Just muscle memory stuff. Yeah. Control pad wise, fantastic. Plays brilliantly on Stadia. Absolutely brilliantly, by the way. Load times are amazing. Like, there aren't any.
Yeah.
It's quick, it's smooth. It feels, as we've explained before with Stadia, it's almost one-to-one input.
Yeah.
It works very, very, very well on Stadia. So, for anyone who wanted to give Cyberpunk a go, I wish you could have got hold of that Cyberpunk deal. Mm. Because I got... So here's the trick, actually. I got Cyberpunk for £10 off on Stadia straight away. I think the game was like £40 or £50.
£50, yeah.
I got it for £40 on Stadia, and then Google went and gave me another £10 back in store credit plus a free Chromecast and the control pad. So for about 30 quid... I got the whole lot in.
It's not bad.
I wish more people could have got hold of that, because that was a fucking fantastic deal, and it's a great way to play the game if you're into it.
I mean, the game, for its graphical glitches, the game does look beautiful.
It does. It looks fucking fantastic.
You climb top of a building, just look out, or when you get up high and look out, and this is the cityscape. I just find myself playing, just stopping and just looking at the city, going, this is...
I don't fast travel.
No, I
and
don't.
I don't drive either. I walk everywhere just so I can look around.
I've got a motorbike now, so I go around the motorbike. Yeah.
Fair enough.
That's quite insane. I will say, the other reason I find my problem driving is the traffic AI is terrible. The traffic AI...
It is.
There are traffic lights, but the traffic AI ignores them completely. The lights change, the traffic AI just ignores them completely. And you want to sort of think yourself, like, do you know what, guys? Okay, you would have your own game. Why don't you just ring up Rockstar and say, hey guys, you've got a really good AI system for your traffic in your games. Let's face it, traffic in a game isn't really a big deal. It's not like the main selling point. Oh, we've got realistic traffic. Rockstar have got quite a good traffic engine for the most part. Can we buy that off you? And just implement it. Save us having to reprogram our own version, because yours weren't
The physics, the driving physics.
Oh, they're very floaty.
Cyberpunk is absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Very floaty, very...
But then the characters in the world of Cyberpunk are also kind of floaty too, so they are there. They don't really do anything. You know, like, you could run someone over, and then they'll just get straight back the fuck up.
AI in general, combat AI is better than it was when it first was out. It was pre-ropey. Combat AI's got a lot better. The enemies are a bit more intelligent. They don't feel quite super intelligent, but they're a lot better. But the civilian AI... is pretty stupid. I mean, you'll be having a gunfight like next door to them and no one cares. So you can run into people and you might get a pre-recorded bot, but they won't react to it.
I've had people clip through me and everything. It's fantastic. Yeah.
It's got a lot of issues. I mean, I think it's also worth pointing out, though, that when Witcher came out, Witcher 3, which is... What the reason why Cyberpunk got so hyped up was Witcher 3 was considered this, like, one of the best in the genre of this RPG. People play it, think it's an amazing. People still play it now, new, and they think it's amazing. My sister and mother played it last year for the first time. They played it before. They played a Witcher game before. Thought it was brilliant. I think what happened was people got sort of. They saw what Witcher was like and assumed it's going to be the same. But it's also worth mentioning that when Witcher came out, it was also incredibly buggy as well. Had a lot of the same issues, you know, objects passing through each other. You know, they actually redid part of it. They actually overhauled the movement system in it because it wasn't very good. And I think what happened was, because Witcher 3 at the time wasn't, because it hadn't had the hype that Cyberpunk had, it was just a game being released by CD Projekt Red. People saw, like, hand brought up to it. Now, as it got patched and made better and solid, and people come to it, it's like, found this really solid patched game, that sort of fed into the hype train. So I think that the game will mostly be fixed over the next 3 months as they release patches. Probably over the next 2-3 months, they'll release the main patch that'll fix it, or fix a lot of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the game has had several, they released a hotfix for it up to version 1.06 that was released, I think, the 22nd December, 23rd of December. They released a hotfix, so people are still working on it, right up to Christmas, people are still working on it, and that's fixed a huge swathe of bugs in the game. So I think it will get fixed, it will get there, it just needs to get there, as it were.
Yeah.
So give it, this time next year, I think people have a different opinion on Cyberpunk. Well, I think once more people got like PS5s and Xbox whatevers. Xbox Two or 6000? What is it? If the new Xbox core?
Xbox Series X. It.
But they need a better naming scheme. I think once more people have got those and they play on those consoles, then it'll get its reputation will pull back a little bit.
Sure. I'd also like to, you know, all these people jumping up and down saying, CD Projekt Red, they're lying. They were lying. They announced this before the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One were a thing. So just because you announce something before a certain generation of hardware is going to come out doesn't mean you're going to waste time optimizing for it.
Yeah, Crysis. Sorry.
You know, well, it is. It's you know, this generation's Crysis. Yeah. It's a fucking bastard to run.
Yeah.
And you couldn't honestly expect a game with all of that new technology in it to run on what is effectively a plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Their mistake was releasing it for the Xbox One and the PS4. That was their mistake. They should never have done it. And that does make it feel like a cash, because they must have known it didn't run very well.
Oh, they knew.
And that does make it, that feels very dirty and feels like a cash
grab. It's even worse, though. Think about it. That Sony and Microsoft were like, let it go, lads. That's cool. They reviewed it.
Yeah.
They had to have reviewed it.
I'm not sure how, because there's plenty of bad games on console. I'm not sure how that their review says are probably, does it like completely tank the system? No. Does it make the system irreparable? No. Oh, that's probably good enough to go out then. I suspect their view is not on quality, but just, is it going to fuck up the console?
So. Yeah, but there's been plenty of those. There's been plenty of those even in recent history. Yeah. But I think that was a little overblown. Mm-hmm. You know, and for all the people going, oh yeah, but it's so good on, look at the PlayStation 5 version. There isn't one. No. Look at the Xbox Series X version. There isn't one. The only real way to play that game right now until it's been specifically patched for 5 and Series X, PC. PC and Stadia.
Yeah. Yes.
I actually went out my way and bought an Nvidia Shield and a GeForce Now subscription to take a crack at it and see how that worked. To stream Cyberpunk. I wanted to see, like, what's it like with ray tracing? Yeah. I haven't got anything with ray tracing. And you can do that with GeForce Now. And I hooked it up to my TV, the Nvidia Shield Pro. And I set the game 1080p, ultra, AI upscale into 4K, HDR on, ray tracing. Looks fantastic. Not a huge amount better than it does on my machine, on my main PC. But it definitely looks pretty.
Yeah.
That's another way you could get into the game. A GeForce Now subscription is £12? No, £25 a year or something like that.
Oh, really? Is that little as that?
It's not a huge amount. It's not a huge amount. It's like a couple bucks a month.
So if you said £12 a month, I would have believed you. So
I don't think it's that high. Or no, it might be £25 for 6 months.
How much is a shield though?
Well, you don't need a shield because you can run it on your PC.
Oh, right.
You can run it on a laptop. You can run it on the GeForce Now app is available on like Chromecast and Android TVs and all that. You don't need a shield. I just wanted a shield. Yeah. I've got Nvidia. I've got GeForce Now installed on my PC. It's right here. I can just click and launch the game from here. I can go onto my laptop and run Cyberpunk with ray tracing and all that kind of stuff on that.
Yeah.
You don't need any specific hardware, but the shield was something like £180 or something like that.
I mean, I've seen like the ray tracing. Ray tracing is very impressive, but it's it's not enough to make you buy a graphics card with ray tracing. It's not, for sure. It looks pretty darn good. Oh, like, yeah, it's things like reflections that really shows off ray tracing, but it's like, one thing is that you're going to go, wow, isn't that amazing? But then you'll never notice it again.
Yeah, as you're running around like a madman, you're never going to notice it. But to play it on GeForce Now, there's a bit more lag. Because they're running a virtual machine with Steam on it, and then you just play the game. It loads up your Steam library.
Oh, that's cool.
Then supported games. So if I buy it on Steam, like literally, if you look at some of my time on my Steam library, that is GeForce Now time. I have to log into my Steam account, it goes into big picture mode, and then it loads up Cyberpunk. So some of the times that people see me playing Cyberpunk on PC, I'm actually playing it on my big screen TV on my Shield.
That's cool. That's good.
Which is nice, because I'm literally only just dicking around. I'm not even playing the game. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, that looks pretty. That looks pretty. Oh, look at the load times. That's fantastic. Just sat there absorbing the atmosphere. And I think, like, if you haven't got a high-end machine, Stadia and GeForce Now are perfect ways to play the game.
That's the thing. We're getting to the stage now. I think we said when Stadia came out that actually, if you've got a decent internet, say it's a decent internet connection, you don't actually need to buy a new PC, really.
No.
You don't.
God, no.
there is really no incentive.
I mean, there are people out there now playing Cyberpunk on a Chromebook. Yeah. You know, that's fucking mind blown.
I tell you, for me, to date themselves to the stage where I can play things in ultra wide. If they do that, then there's really no reason for me to buy games on any other platform anymore. I might as well buy them through Stadia. Yep.
Just as a random update to Stadia, Ubisoft have Ubisoft Connect now, don't they?
Yeah.
They have a monthly subscription service. That's now tied into Stadia.
What, so if you've got the game on Ubisoft, you can play it through Stadia?
If the game is on Stadia, and you have a Ubisoft Connect account, and you tie it to your Stadia account, bickety-bam. Like, so, for example, that would include all of the Watch Dogs games, all of the Assassin's Creed games. There's a bunch of other games from there. I can't remember what the fuck they are. But, like, there's quite a few games. Far Cry, all the Far Cry games that are on Stadia would be unlocked for, like, £10 a month or £15 a month.
Yeah.
Whap that onto Stadia, like, tie that into your Stadia account. Bam! You can stream all those games where the fuck ever you are. And apparently your saves cross over, too.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's not available in the UK yet, but I mean, it's an option.
Yeah.
It's there in the States. So again, for people who don't want to go out and buy high end PCs or, you know, gaming laptops or whatever. I mean, Stadia is coming out on tons of stuff now. Android TV boxes, phones are supported on a metric butt ton of phones, anything with a Chrome web browser, pretty much. You could play Cyberpunk.
That is pretty. I said to you, Stages, I think it's going to burst to popularity. I think it hasn't quite got that pinnacle. It's definitely got stay power. I think it's going to stay. And as word gets out, I said, well, the limiting factor of it is internet connections. Actually, internet connections are now, for most people, fairly reliable.
Yeah. In the UK, yeah, I'd say yes. Yeah.
I know in the States and stuff, where a lot more rural areas are pretty screwed.
I mean, even if you've got a pretty solid fibre connection, though, a lot of people are going, oh, but it's still not good enough. It's like, but what's the distance between you and the server?
Yeah. I mean,
that's going to be a huge factor.
I've played Stadia, and I'm on a 50 gigabit connection, and I forget I'm playing a streaming game. I forget I'm streaming. Yeah. I forget that I'm playing the game. It's like I'm sat there in front of it. I completely forget that. Yeah. It's that impressive that I see it. I can see it. I can see Stadia definitely revolutionising it. Perhaps if you've already got a machine, you've got your Steam, perhaps a better choice actually is GeForce Now, because if it links with your Steam library, and you've got
although it must be, I've got a massive with GeForce Now though. I have over 1,400 or 1,500 games. Only about 150 of those are supported by GeForce.
That's
Now.
Interesting.
And that's also largely down to the publisher.
Okay.
Because Blizzard games, Activision Blizzard games, also used to be on GeForce Now until Blizz pulled them. Activision Blizzard pulled them. So you used to be at stream World of Warcraft and stuff like that, but they pulled them.
That's a bit shit.
So, but I think streaming is going to be the future. Or you buy a key and then sync it up to a streaming service, and you can just go out and buy a shitty 100 quid laptop, 200 quid laptop, Chromebook, whatever. You got games.
Yeah.
Lots of games. Amazon's Luna is coming out at some point. I think the Americans have already got it in beta. And that's basically Stadia. Yeah. You get a fancy little control pad and a little dongle Fire TV stick thing. And it's basically Stadia, but Amazon's version. And Amazon also have the Ubisoft Connect thing going on. So you pay a subscription to Luna and you've got, it's Netflix for games. Just a big old list of games that you can play. You press them and you stream them.
I tell you what's also going to be, to add to that as well, is now 5G is being rolled out. The idea of last year I went camping and I was sat in the woods, and I had my phone set. I mean, that's on 4G, and my laptop was tethered to my phone. I was watching Netflix and Amazon Prime, just sat in the field. I didn't actually try Stage. I should have tried Stage, actually. I don't know how well it works with a 4G connection.
It's all right. It's all right.
But once 5G rolls out, the idea I could just sit in the woods playing a high-end PC game on my laptop in the middle of a forest is kind of thrilling.
It's hardcore. It's amazing. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and to think that realistically, like, your laptop wouldn't run Cyberpunk
No.
You know? There are people actually going, hey, check this out. They've actually modded their Nintendo Switches and they're playing Cyberpunk on Nintendo Switch through Stadia. You know, like, this is what Stadia can do. But everyone's like, oh, wow, you can play it on the Switch. It's like, no, you have to understand Stadia is doing all the work. Yeah. You think it's super impressive, but Stadia is doing all the work. You can use that on anything with a Chrome browser. Yeah. So just go back to like bugs and that. I have had some nasty ones. I had one where, so you've got two, you've got a scanner, haven't you? You can use to scan the world for items and objects and all that kind of stuff. One of my first bugs was pretty early on in the game when you go and see the, I can't remember what his name is, the doctor that enhances you, gives you a fancy eyeball.
Victor.
Yeah, Victor. You go and see Victor. This is right early on in the game after your tutorial bit, so literally no more than half an hour after the tutorial. I had to launch my scanner, and there's a toggle and a press.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one version where I press and hold it, and the scanner's up. One of them is I press it, and it toggles, and it stays up, and I press it again, and it goes away. For some reason, old Vic says, dude, check that shit out. Hit the scanner button, and then it wouldn't go away.
Okay.
And then I hit both of the scanner buttons, and it just would not go away. So I was just stuck, slow-mo walking as I was leaving Victor's place. It was broken. I couldn't get out of the scanner, so I had to exit the game and go back in and redo that segment. Another one was around about the same section, actually. I'm supposed to be talking to Jackie upstairs. Hey, is Jackie in it?
Yeah.
The bloke from the start of the game. After you go see Vic, you're supposed to see Jackie. Jackie's supposed to give you your next quest. And I go waddling upstairs. There's the girl that Jackie's supposed to be talking to. She is having a conversation with an empty chair. And I'm like, quest markers tell me I'm supposed to speak to Jackie here. Huh. Nice chair. Where's he at? And it doesn't do that every time. No. Because I'd already actually done that section before. It was just like random ass bug, but I couldn't go any further, so I had to reload the game to be able to actually get that event to trigger. But once I did everything after that, was quite solid.
I do feel I've been quite lucky. I've not had any major bugs. I've had quite a few. If you class a bug as something that makes it, I've had nothing that actually sort of had me make me restart the game. I've not had any of that. I've not had any I'm touching wood now. I've not had any crashes. So from that point of view, it seems relative. At least from my point of view, it's felt relatively solid. I think most of the stuff has just been minor annoyances and sort of like, and that's just kind of just the complexity of it all. Perhaps we should talk about actually the game. We've always talked about the technology in the game. Perhaps we should talk about the game itself. Gameplay itself.
We haven't even mentioned gameplay realistically or story. So
for me, it's basically Deus Ex meets GTA is how I would describe it to somebody. So it's got the sort of Deus Ex lightish RPG mechanics, and it's cyberpunk as well, which obviously has in. So, you know, you can enhance your character with augments. You've got crafting it, so you can disassemble weapons and make crafting components and upgrade weapons via crafting, which actually works out better value for money than buying weapons. You can disassemble weapons. They're all fairly lightweight mechanics, but it's got it all in there. Mix of a GTA style, big, massive open world city that you can drive about, run about in, and have a bit of fun in. And you're a guy called V, and it's interesting because it's got three different starts. You basically start with different storylines. So I picked the corporate storyline.
I was a nomad.
Yeah, you were the nomad. And we have complete... And the storylines do eventually converge to one main one, but we have two complete different storylines. So how I was introduced into it, I basically start off talking to Jackie on the phone. I'm at my headquarters. I sort of say, I'll see you later. I go see my boss, because I work for Arasaka, you know, the big sort of the big evil corporation in the game. And I go see him. He basically tells me that he's got a rival that he wants to check out, and basically he sends me off to take out the rival. I then go meet Jackie at a club, and while there, the person I'm going to take out, her team turns up and basically come with the pals, whip out all my cyber, my fancy corporate cyberware, basically leave me back and wrong, drain all my, freeze my accounts, I've got no money, and basically leave me scrapped off. And Jackie then has to sort of like, says, "So I'll help you out." From which point on, we then get into the actual tutorial mission and so forth. That's how it happened to me. What was your start like? How did it work for you?
So for me, I chose Nomad. So I'm just like some wandering geezer in the desert, kind of Mad Max styly. Yep. And I have been given a mission to go and meet Jackie for a smuggler's run. But my car is broken down in the desert. I've managed to limp it to a small village on the outskirts of the city. And I get into some shit with the local sheriff because they're not supposed to be working with me unless I've announced that I'm in the city because I'm part of a nomad gang. I've left the nomad gang for whatever reason. I get my car up and running and I try and find Jackie. And it turns out he's held up in like a random ass like scrapyard just outside of town. Idea is we've got a box from Arasaka, I believe, and we're just supposed to take it. We're just supposed to take it into the city. We go through a main checkpoint. They got to check our paperwork. I slip the guy a bribe. So, you know, like, we have got something dodgy here. You know we've got something dodgy here, but, you know, just let us go through. We go through, and as we're about to pull into the city, a fucking, like, a bunch of heavily armored fucking cars turn up, and we're about to get the shit kicked out of us. We drive like mad, end up in a hardcore firefight as we're heading into the city. Jackie starts to freak out as we then drive into like this little kind of like we pull a bit of a GTA and slip into like a side building
sprite,
to get away from these. Yeah, pretty much. And we hop out of the fucking thing. Jackie's freaking out like, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, yeah, mate, we've just been screwed. Like, don't worry about it. It's not that big of a deal. You know, we've been fucked over. Jackie's like, well, what have we got in the box? And it turns out it's like an iguana. And then Jackie's like, oh, well, you know, I don't actually have the money to pay you, dude. I was just going to, you know, take this. We were going to get through. You were going to get me through the checkpoint. I was going to take this shit and run. And that's then how that goes. We're like, nah, mate, look. I'm like, I appreciate your honesty. You fucking dick. And Jackie said, well, look, you know, it turns out you've been a cool guy. I was going to bail on you. You've helped me. I'm still alive because of you. Now I'll help you. We're family. And then that's what leads on to the tutorial.
That's interesting because playing through as me as well as corporate, it's implied that you and Jackie sort of grew up together. And,
all right.
When you meet some of his other family, the least way it's for how I interpret was that you actually at some point lived with him, with his family. So mm-hmm. you grew up together, whereas also you didn't. So that's interesting. They actually changed the way the characters' backstories interact. They've actually changed not just how you start, but actually how they interact further down the line. That's interesting. So
yeah. Well, it's neat because they say as the nomads, you know, the nomad clans are my family. And he's like, oh yeah, man. Well, when you're living in the city, like, you know, the street kids, you know, we're all a family. You know, you don't necessarily always get on, but you're family. So you don't fuck each other about. And yeah, it was neat. Cuts to that little montage, which I will say is a complete cop out. But yeah. The intros were cool. I didn't do the middle one. I wasn't interested in the corpo route. I figured someone else would do that, and thankfully you did, so I could see what that was like.
Oh, so you've done the other one as well, then?
No, I wanted to, but I can't be bothered. Because I've rolled two different characters.
Yeah.
But both of them ended up going Nomad. Okay. My first character I actually customized, the one on Stadia, I just literally picked one off the shelf. I was like, fuck it, there you go, that's V off of the box art.
The most important question, did you customise your genitals?
No, I'm non-binary. I'm non-binary.
I did customise my genitals.
You know, I didn't know if I wanted penis 1 or penis 2. I mean, penis 2 is the much more, like, the much more hardcore sequel to penis 1, which was very disappointing.
Yeah.
But I decided I'd go non-binary, fair so, enough. You know.
I went for the middle-sized penis. I didn't want to show off, so I went for the middle-sized penis.
You went penis 1?
Penis 1 is small. I went for penis 2, which is the middle-sized one.
Oh, there you go. Well, then penis 2 isn't the middle-sized one, is it? Because there isn't a penis 3.
There is a penis 3. Yeah. Is there? Penis 3 is the horse one. So
I'd only been told that there was two penises.
There's two small, dick. Medium, and large. There you go. But yeah, I did indeed.
Apparently, that actually affects how certain characters interact.
Yeah, I can believe it.
So, based on your junk. So, I didn't like the character creator in it at all.
It's very basic.
I'm shade blind, so I couldn't tell any of the colours.
Yeah, no, I had similar issues in that. Yeah, it's.
I was like literally sat there on the character creation screen, like, what colour is that?
Yeah.
Is that what they're supposed to be? That looks like that on the side screen, but when I look at it on my character, that doesn't look right. So in the end, I said, fuck it. Because I recently shaved all my hair off. For anyone that is in the audio, they ain't going to know. But yeah, I shaved all my hair off. So I actually made my fucking character bald. It's like the first time in history I've ever made a character bald. I was like, I can't. And all because I couldn't see the fucking colours. I was like, sod it. I'm just going to have a shiny ass fucking dome. Screw you, character creator. I'm going in.
No, I did customise all. I mean, I don't spend a lot of time customising characters, but I did spend some time customising my character. But I don't spend super much time, because most of the time you never see him. So, 90% of the time you're not going to see him, so you might as well. Yeah, so that's cool. That's good. Cool. So I love the different styles. I thought that was quite a neat touch.
The intro mission was nice. I liked it. I just wish I liked everything that came after.
Yeah, I did read some stupid person saying the intro mission not your origin mission, your actual first tutorial mission. Someone said it was like, ultra sexist, because at one point you take like a naked woman at the bath and you sort of, she's right in front of your face. I thought, I'm sorry, there was nothing sexy about that sequence. There was nothing. No. This woman who's clearly been abused and naked your whole life, there's nothing sexy. I'm sure there's some perverts at the point. There's nothing sexy about that.
There's an entire section earlier on, just a little bit earlier on, where there's someone literally carved up on a table.
Yeah.
Right, now, if you've never watched any kind of, you know, cyberpunky stuff or played any cyberpunky games before, commonplace as fuck.
Yeah.
Get over it. And this has been going on since like the fucking 80s. Yeah. You know, if you look at the posters on the wall as you drive around the city, there's literally fucking titties and ass everywhere. Yeah. Get over it. It's just part of the thing.
Yeah. Yes, it is, yeah.
If you weren't expecting titties and ass in a game called Cyberpunk,
I mean, it's actually, in my opinion, it's done very much in the satire. Basically, just showing how the world has just gone, as we, over time, have got more and more liberal situations and stuff that gets on television now wouldn't have gone on television 50 years ago. So as we've got more and more liberal stuff, it's just like the natural progression of, okay, it's now, I mean, there's a whole, if you watch the adverts, there's like a whole documentary, sort of like primetime documentary, sort of like it's a reality TV show called The Watson Whore, who's about this male prostitute and all the disgusting things they do and so forth. That's just a primetime reality TV show. You can watch. It's just fairly popular. It's all. But to me, I watch it. It's turned to such a stupidly overt degree. It's satire.
They take it to the extreme.
It's satire.
But then, that's cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It always has been. I mean, I can't think of a. I'm trying to think of a single cyberpunk game where it hasn't been overly graphic.
Yeah.
And I played quite a few.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single one where there hasn't at least been an instance of tits in it. Or a strip club.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So I find it. So tour ends, you've been introduced to the sort of key props, the jacket sort of helps you get to your apartment. But you can go
That bugged as well. I had an interface bug there as well. You know where? Yeah, so you know when you get it comes up with like, this is your stash or whatever it is. This is your hideout. And it comes up with a green box on the bottom left-hand side of the screen. and that's supposed to kind of disappear as like a tooltip, and they're supposed to disappear. Oh, it didn't disappear. It just sat there on my screen. I was like, I can't see the rest of the interface behind this fucking tooltip. Yeah. Go away. So I had to reload the game to get that to go away as well. Because I actually moved on to the complete next mission. I was like, it's not going away. Am I supposed to do something to make that go away? Or does it just go away? Yeah. It was just sat there going, oh, well, here's your stuff. It's like, I've already done what you've told me to do. Go away.
What I also learn about V is he doesn't know how to lay on a bed. Yeah. When you go to sleep, he saw what is across the bed rather than on the pillow. So, but after that...
He's had a hard day, man.
Yeah, he's all crashed out. I mean, I spent about half an hour watching TV. They've made so much stuff for the TV. I was just watching TV. I was a good half an hour watching the TV programs. Because I'm the sort of person who, when he plays a game, will watch it until it loops around and goes, oh, good, I've watched everything now. I've absorbed all the background information. I shouldn't move on. But I think it's actually randomised. So sure. I don't know if I can go for this.
I haven't looked at any of it, to be honest with you.
Well, you see a lot of TVs in the... they still see him, like when you go like the lifts and stuff, they're usually one playing and so forth, and you can catch up through that. There's lots of read. There's quite a surprising amount of background stuff there if you look at it and go for it. Yeah, read into it. So that's true. Next day you get up and meet Jack outside, and that's basically where the city then opens up. That's when you can then actually sort of go out and explore the city. This is probably my first, it's a weird criticism actually, is there's too much to do. There's so many side missions everywhere. I looked at it, I was free. It's like, oh, that's a lot of stuff to work through. It's like, perhaps you could sort of like drip feed this a bit to me a bit more rather than free. It's like, you've got all these things you can do. You've literally been in the game half an hour. Look, there's...
They give you like four missions within the first few seconds.
Yeah, but then
if
you look at all the like, sort of like... What sort of like coaster is where you like you go somewhere and the mission unlocks as you get there. There's certain ones out there which you have to sort of go to the location of before you actually get the mission given to you. There's dozens and dozens of them straight off the bat. As like because I'm a bit of when it comes to games like some OCD about, so I have to do all the side missions before I do the main ones. Oh well, there's so many to do. As I got a bit like almost frozen. Like, I don't know what to do.
You had like a choice paralysis.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. It's like it's just too much. There's too much stuff here. It's too much. I can't handle it. But I sort of worked my way through doing. I thought of actually sort of like. I want my policies now. If I'm going somewhere, I will do the ones on the way. And then, but after that, I'm going to carry on the sort of what I call the main, because you have like the main missions, the side missions, like these little missions. I'll do the little ones on the way as I go to a side mission. I'll pick them up and play them as I go.
Yeah.
And then I'll do side missions, go on to the main missions. I have found a bit because they don't tell you like a level rating, they just say if it's very easy to very hard. And I found that a little bit hit and miss. I've played a few missions which are very hard, and I actually walked through them quite quickly, no problem. And I've played ones that supposedly moderate, and I've been absolutely trounced every time. I've had to walk away. Yeah, sure. So that's a bit hit and miss. I found that, but it does. There's plenty to do. Let's put it that way. There's plenty to do. You're not gonna. There's probably too much to do. Quite cool. So you did that. We've talked about the crafting system, which is, I say, it's very straightforward. You need components, you literally just upgrade your weapons, and that's usually actually a cheaper way to upgrade your weapons than just even find something you can find, because that keeps your mods. Whereas you bar up and you say you don't get the kit, you can't take your mods off. At least I've not found a way to take your mods off weapon once they're on there, which is weird because silencers and scopes should be removable, but you can't. Once they're on there, they're on there. So I'm sort of like generally sticking weapons I've got. I've got a pistol, I've got an assault rifle, and I've got a sniper rifle. As you can probably guess, as my sort of loadout. And I'm working with those as I go around. And that seems to be a quite nice balance. My pistol is deliberately set up as well. That pistol actually will deal non-lethal damage. It'll actually just knock people out. So there are points where it's like, okay, you knock this person out, mustn't kill him. Well, now my pistol, I can shoot my pistol and it won't kill him. which is a handy little side thing. Okay, so
fair enough.
I'm not so happy because it's basically an RPG style, so enemies have hit points. I'm not so keen on the stealth side because it's very much like Oblivion and Skyrim style, where if you get a sneak attack on somebody, it's not a guaranteed kill or takedown. It's like it'll probably do a lot of, if you're great, you can do lots of damage, but it's not guaranteed. And I kind of, when I'm stealthing about, a pistol to the head should be it. Unless they're like armoured or something, yeah. That should be it. They should be down at the count because that's all works. Or at least let me have like some sort of taser or something that can knock them out, you know, because when you're stealthy, it's sort of, you don't want to get into a fight, you want to sort of like quick. And it should be about, you know, make it so that you have to like at least have a decent aim. You have to get them in the head, take it down instantly, otherwise it doesn't work. You know, there's some risk reward there, but I wish it worked more like that. I've gone better at the stealth. I've played it a bit more. I've gone because I'm a stealthy, but I like playing stealthily. I've sort of got better at doing the stealth stuff of it. Probably also worth mentioning how the leveling system works. It's fairly sort of interesting. Again, almost Skyrim-esque in that you have...
See, I'm glad you keep mentioning Skyrim because everyone keeps saying, mate, it's the mod, it's Deus Ex mixed with, and you've said it yourself, to me, this is Fallout 4 with a cyberpunk setting.
Mm. I would say the leveling system is more in depth than Fallout 4. It's a bit more to it. Fallout 4, it's very similar to Fallout 4, I'll give you that, but I feel it feels a little bit more... I don't know, it doesn't... I get where you're coming from. I do get absolutely where you're coming from. I do see where you're coming from, Fallout 4, in that you have attributes unlock. As you increase your attributes, you will unlock perks on the tree, but you gain... Whereas Fallout 4 is a straight experience system, it's more closer, in my opinion, to the Skyrim system, where you gain experience using the various tools.
Well, doing things.
But you're doing specifically...
I'm also talking about like crafting and the interface and stuff like that.
It's, I would say the crafting system is better than Fallout 4. I'd say the crafting system is more simpler. It's simpler.
I'm not saying whether it's better or worse. I'm just saying, like, you know, if you're gonna say this is a first-person RPG, look at Fallout, look at Skyrim. It's nothing fantastic.
Yeah. I'd say it's a light RPG. It's not a super in-depth RPG. It's a light RPG. And it's still got the sort of pick attributes, decide where you're going to go and increase your perks to this side of go. I find it's a bit weird that, so you've got technical ability, you've also got like an engineer being there, very that normally your technical stuff also affects your crafting, not in this, they're separate, which is quite interesting. So normally if you're good technically, you'd be good at like bypassing doors automatically. Not so in this, your technical ability is they've separated them out, so your computery stuff is separate to your technical stuff. So it's closer to Skyrim's system than to Fallout, but I get exactly where you're coming from when you say it's like Fallout 4. The has almost got sort of like a magic casting system in a weird way. You have your cyber deck, which you can, you have a number of RAM slots, which is effectively your mana, and you can connect to enemies, and you can basically like cause things, like you can cause all their cybernetics, you basically hack them, cause their cybernetics to overload and they get shocked. You can like cause them to overheat. You can ping them and find out all the enemies near, all the everything that's connected to them, so you can find out all the enemies nearby for a few seconds. Lots of things. You can like do things like you can make them more vulnerable to things. You can like get into disable cameras for them. There's lots of it's basically a spell casting system. It's their version of it, because some of the things you can do are a little bit like dubious. Like, would that actually be possible? Well, there's some things that you can like reboot their optics so their eyes stop working for a short time, which I think is quite funny. And then each one of these uses a RAM cost, because it's like your computer needs to sort of be thinking about what does it. And RAM is effectively your mana as you use up RAM. So I've now got 11 RAM slots. Is it 11 or 12 RAM slots I've now got? So I can cast quite a few spells or hacks on enemies and so forth. So that's all the sort of main mechanics sort of covered off, really. So have you done any brain dancers yet?
I have. I don't like them.
Do you not?
Nope. Hate them.
Oh, I find them. They're probably my favourite parts of the game doing the brain dance. We have to sort of scrub through and.
It was so slow and. Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Just didn't like it.
So.
When I played it through on the. So I did it first on the PC. When I got to the Stadia version, I just literally anchored my character in one place, fast forwarded until it got it highlighted a key point, found the key point, and just went. Was it? Not interested.
Yeah. So it's basically like a short segment that it's normally got like two modes. You play it like first person mode, played from, and you're basically a recording of another person's experiences. And it's a short segment, about sort of minute, 30 seconds long. And you basically see it from this character's perspective, if something happens to him and they'll do something and so forth. Like the first one you're trained on is a guy robbing a shop. And as he's leaving the shop, he gets shot. What they then do is they say, right, let's pull you out. You go to edit mode. The edit mode basically lets you, because basically the hardware that records it doesn't just record what he sees. It records a lot about the environment around him as well. And the editor mode lets you see all that. So it allows you to sort of like fly around the character and through it. And you can scrub back and forth, find clues and like access devices, found sounds that he probably didn't notice but are there because the system recorded it there. Bit like, you know, audio editing, you may find something picked up in the background of an audio edit that you didn't realise was there when you were recording time. All that sort of stuff, and yeah, to sort of like tease out the clues. You found so I actually found it really fun because it's sort of like a puzzle type situation. I found that quite fun.
I didn't find it a puzzle because it was highlighting everything. So yeah. I was just like, you know.
But sort of piecing
the game
clues.
Is really good at highlighting absolutely everything for
you. Oh, yeah, it's like, it doesn't, that's. It does. It's the classic thing of go find so and so. Let's put the marker right on their head. Okay, I think it's going to be quite easy for me to find this person. There are bits where you have to sort of like it just gives you like an area and you just have to sort of like canvas the area. But they are few and far between. There's a bit later on where you sort of deal with these AI cabs, and you have to help find some of the missing cabs. And I say, oh, I found one. You'll get to an area and it'll show you this big, massive square. And you think, oh, I've got to search this area now for this missing cab. And the thing will say, oh, one of my cabs misses this area. Bonk! Oh, there it is. I've just highlighted it for you. Like, oh. Why give me the search square? What's the point of having the search square if you're just going to highlight it for me? At least sort of like wait till it's within visual food before you highlight. That's fair enough. As soon as I'm within visual food, highlight it. Oh, there it is. That's fine. But, you know, at least everything. So. I think that covers up most of the gameplay. I think we've covered off of that. I can't think we've missed anything off that.
That's pretty much it.
So, as you can guess, probably 31 hours into it, I'm actually quite enjoying Cyberpunk. It's scratching the itch that I got from playing like Deus Ex back in the day. It scratches that itch for me. It's nowhere near as good. Nowhere near as good. If someone said, what should I have, you know, Deus Ex or Cyberpunk, I'd say get Deus Ex. Definitely. Mm-hmm. It's nowhere near as good. I had a look at the Steam reviews today, see what it's sitting on Steam. It's currently sitting at 79% positive reviews. That sounds about right in my head. That sounds about right to me. That's probably where I'd put it as well. But I'm enjoying it. Sticking with the more, I would say, if you stick more of the sort of side missions and the main missions, and not so much the little ones, you'll get a lot more out of it. The little missions are really just there as grinding missions; they're not really add a lot. But the side missions in general are pretty. I think some of them are quite in depth, actually, and quite in detail, and actually work quite nicely. So I'd stick with those. Probably is more my other recommendation. But yeah, I'm only now on Act 2, or just started Act 2. Which, to be fair, if you probably just play straight through to the mission, you probably get to Act 2 in a couple of hours. But I couldn't get to Act 2 20 hours in. So
I was going
to
say, when I'd done about 6-7 hours, you'd already done 12.
Yeah.
And we were at the same point.
Yeah. I like to save this type of game and take my time over it, as you can probably tell.
Sure.
So, but yeah, no, that's it. So that's Cyberpunk. So I think we spent the best part of an hour on Cyberpunk, but I think as it's been a big release, it's worth doing. So I've got nothing else.
No, that was it. I mean, I was literally saving it for this.
Yeah.
To be honest. Yeah, because I'm not really playing a lot at the minute. There's not really a lot that's grabbing my attention.
No.
So.
Oops. Oh dear.
That's shamefully, it's just the way of the world. I'm looking down up and coming games listed, all the listings and that, and just there's nothing. There's really nothing.
It's not another yeast game coming out for you.
Yeah, but not until middle of the year.
Oh, there you go. So you've got something to look forward to in the middle of the year. If we make it that far.
That's going to be an interesting podcast for the next six months.
Indeed it will be. We must call it the RAM podcast.
I'm going to be honest with you, dude. It probably will be. Because I'm not feeling it. And counter to RAM's enthusiasm for Cyberpunk, I don't like it.
Well, that's fair.
At all. It's Fallout Skyrim with a Cyberpunk skin. It looks very pretty, but I think the interface is crap. It's buggy as balls, which, as we've said, they will fix it. I don't know. It's just I don't find it interesting. It's crowded. There's so much stuff to do, but I don't really think any of it. Doesn't really have much substance to me.
Okay, that's fair.
That just seems like unnecessary filler and fluff to make it seem like the world is much more alive than it really is. But yeah, if it's your cup of tea, go for it.
Yeah.
I do wish more people could have got it on Stadia because more people could have played it.
More people would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right, well, that's it from me then. So we'll be back on the Saturday, the 16th of January. I'll remind Skaz this time as well that we'll be broadcasting.
Yep.
And you can also join us from Tuesday the 5th, where we'll be presuming our games nights. So you can join me on twitch.tv/SuffolkGram.
And twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
And until the 16th, we'll see you then, guys.
Rockin'. Take it easy, guys.
Bye.